have prayer, amen, every day of the week, amen, on the weekdays, rather, at 12 noon, amen. And I stopped by prayer at 12 noon. It was such an edifying experience to be in the house, amen, at 12 noon. And so if you're off, just come on through and get a taste of God's anointing, amen. It'll fill up the rest of your day, amen. Come on, give God some glory, amen. Yes. All right. Brother Brian wanted me to remind the men, amen, if you're here and you're interested, amen, and join in the men's choir, the Sons of Asaph, amen. Come on, give God some glory for that, amen. I'm telling you, something happens when the men of God begin to sing. Amen. Them lions roaring on up here. Amen. Something is going to happen. Something's going to happen, John, and our children. You understand what I'm saying? When my son see the men of God sing up there, something's going to happen in his heart. Amen. See, real men worship. Anybody hear me up here? Real men worship. Amen. The men that practice looking hard won't be too hard. No. David was a worshiper. The same one who slew Goliath. Amen. Or get on that harp, amen, hallelujah, and sing a mean song, amen. We got any men that's some worshipers up in here? We got some Davids up in here, amen. So listen, after Bible study, they're going to get off in a little corner somewhere, and Brian going to tell y'all right quick what y'all got to do, what's happening, when we going to practice. Yes, I did say we, because I'm going to sneak back there too and make a joyful noise. I'm just going to tell Brian, don't put the mic too close. Because this old throat is a preacher throat. It's not a worshiping, a singing throat. But I do worship. You understand what I'm saying? Come on, give God some glory. Amen. They don't know that I'm... All right. So that's going on. Amen. After Bible study. Amen. The Sons of Asaph. Amen. Love, you got anything on the agenda? Nothing? What about women's Bible study? Okay, women's Bible study next Monday. Come on, give God some glory for that. Amen. All right. So, look, I think that's about it. Shalonda, John? New members class? April 10th. All right. That's good, John. Come on, give God some glory. And once again, John, just tell Shalonda, y'all get with First Lady. Let's do a little baptism. It's still kind of, you got a little chilly every now and then, but we're going to figure something out. On a warm day, amen. I'm sorry. Oh, praise God. They got it already. All right. At the end of the month, we're going to be baptizing. Amen. Come on, give God some glory. All right. So let's go to the scriptures, y'all. Hebrews 10:26. And let's get cranked up. The Bible says, amen, hallelujah. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who had trodden underfoot the Son of God, and had counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and had done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that had said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. Verse 31, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Come on, give God some glory for his word. Amen. Hallelujah. Saints, we've been in the book of Hebrews when I'm up here, and we've been talking about this book because it's a unique book. It's a book written to our people to encourage us to stay in the faith of Yahshua Jesus, the Christ, our Messiah. It's so many things that can bombard us to get us away from the fundamentals of the faith. And let it be said from this pulpit, amen, though we believe a lot of things, though we teach a lot of things, though we understand that mysteries are being unfolded in our very eyes, since we are the ones on whom the last days are falling upon, no matter how many things we learn, No matter how many things we know, we could never let go of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. You don't ever let go of that. Amen. And that's what this whole book is about. That's what it's all about. Amen. And we don't want to be like those people who's ever learning but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. Amen. You want to build upon, hallelujah, the foundation who's Christ. Amen. Who's Yahshua. Amen. And hallelujah, no other foundation can any man lay than that which is laid. Amen. And so we in this book, hallelujah, and last time I was up here, we talked about the blessing of the new covenant, how it's such a greater covenant than the old covenant with so many different promises. And so last time, amen, the writer of Hebrews was just telling us, since we have such a good covenant, that we should draw near, amen, not stay far, amen. Jesus done made a way out of no way. He's the door. We can go in now. So let's draw near. Let's take advantage of it, and let's go to God in prayer, amen. We can come boldly before the throne of grace that we might receive mercy and help in our time of need. He say, draw near, amen, hallelujah. Listen, many people desire to draw near, especially in the Old Testament, amen. They couldn't even get in the temple if something was wrong with them, amen. If one leg was longer than the other, they had an impediment in some kind of way, couldn't even go in the temple, let alone the Holy of Holies. But here we are, amen, in the new covenant, and we can approach our God at any time, and some of us not even approaching Him. He said, please let us draw near. He says also, hold fast. And that was all about holding on to the gospel, not letting it go. We talked about a pit bull grip. We talked about being tenacious about it. We talked about, amen, hallelujah, though everything else, you let go of everything else, don't ever let go of that. Amen. Listen, they can set you on fire, but don't let go, amen, of the gospel. Come on, give God some glory, amen. And he says, amen, let us draw near, let us hold fast, let us consider one another. We in this together. Huh? We all getting attacked by the adversary. We all getting bombarded by the world. We all have an old flesh that's trying to do things we don't want it to do. Amen? And so we all going through the same thing. Now we come here and we can act like we're not going through. But all of us going through because we behind enemy lines. Anybody hear me up in here? Everybody going through. From the most mature, amen, to the least mature. Amen? From the richest to the poorest, amen. From the one who looked like they got it all together and the one who looked like they falling apart. Every single one of us going through because we in this world and this world is not our home. Anybody hear me up in here? So he says as we walk this thing out and we in this new covenant together, consider one another. Don't hurt each other. Help one another. You know? And he begins to talk about, hallelujah, the next one. He says, hallelujah, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves. Come together, man. You know, come together. If the world is our enemy, amen. The old adage is the enemy of my enemy is supposed to be my friend. Anybody hear me? So, John, if the world is your enemy and the world is my enemy, let's get together and see how we can overcome our mutual enemy. He said, consider one another and don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. All right? We strengthen one another when we come together. All right? And I'm just going because God wants us to be together so much. He gave a promise, a beautiful promise. He said, where two or more are gathered in my name. You see how much he wants us to be together? He said, one of the ways that you could immediately invoke my presence is just to get together with another believer. He said, where two or more are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. Come on, give God some glory, amen? Woo! It's like he's saying, you want to get close to me, get close to one another. Tonight, we move on in chapter 10, amen. We're going to pick up in verse 26, and we're going to talk about a little serious topic tonight. We're going to talk about the topic of apostasy. Say that with me, apostasy, all right? And apostasy, amen, is pretty much the opposite of being an apostle. It's kind of like the similar words, amen, but It's exactly the opposite. If I had to give a definition of apostasy, apostasy is the intentional falling away or withdrawing from the faith. The intentional falling away or withdrawing from the faith. Now, you got to understand my theology, all right? Your theology might be different, but I just want you to understand my theology. You got to understand your pastor believes that if somebody falls away, they never had it. You understand what I'm saying? You got some people that believe different, and look, that's fine. You could believe that. It's all good. That's nothing that should divide us, because at the end of the day, when you look at what I'm teaching, amen, it's going to really come to a same conclusion. Are you with me here so far? All right? Don't be separated over crumbs tonight. Okay? All right? But apostasy is the intentional falling away or withdrawing from the faith. All right? I have in my notes, Philly, that apostasy is the sin of our age. It's the sin of our age. Watch this. In the age in which we live in it, right? This is the sin that's going to be pervasive, amen, in our time, right? What you mean, Pastor? People going to be falling away left and right. Falling away left and right. Withdrawing from the faith. Leaving the faith. Not wanting to have anything to do with Christ, right? Now, Brian, watch this. This is going to be especially true in our Gentile brothers, right? Because the fullness of the Gentiles is coming. And as you watch it, it's happening already. All right? And if you can't see it in the spiritual, watch it in the natural. Right? Because wherever people don't have God, then they don't have the blessings of God. All right? The closer you are to God, the more blessed you are. It is the Lord that gives us the power to get wealth. Anybody hear me up in here? So as the falling away happens, amen, people will become more impoverished. All right? You'll see them at stores you never used to see them at. You see them looking at dollar stores and dollar sales. You'll see them in places that, oh, let me not get too much into it. Y'all not ready for this. Y'all eyes not open up in here. Anybody woke in here? Anybody can see some things? Are we the only ones that can see this, man? Look around. And it's because of Ichabod. It's because the glory who? The glory of Israel. That's how it got. The glory is gone. Somebody say a falling away. We hear about it, amen, more specifically in the Bible in 1 Timothy 4 and chapter 4, verse 1. It says this, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, that's the last days, that's where we are right now, some shall do what? Depart from the faith. That's that great falling away that's coming. Real soon. It's already happening, but we're going to see it amplify. We're going to see it go to another level. All right? And it's my contention is that as more truth comes out about the reality of our Bible, about the reality of our history, there will be a greater falling away. You ain't caught that. You ain't caught that. You ain't caught that. How real can I be, babe? Not too much? I can't read your hand. All right, okay. But just trust me. It's going to get worse. Spirit, give it to him. Without me saying it. Give it to him without me saying it. So here we go. So that's apostasy. That's the falling away. I'm going to have three quick points tonight. I'm going to give you a description of apostasy. I'm going to talk about the doom of apostasy. And I'm going to talk about the folly of apostasy. Amen. Just three quick points. Amen. We're going to go out and get out of here. Amen. You can enjoy the rest of your evening after you get this word. Let's go to our first point, the description of apostasy. And we have it here set out in the scripture in verse 26. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. Verse 1 gives us a description of apostasy. It is when we sin willfully, intentionally, deliberately, and we go on sinning intentionally, willfully, deliberately. We go on habitually sinning willfully, deliberately, intentionally, even after we know the truth of Yahshua Jesus. Are you with me here so far? So you know the truth about Jesus. You know the truth about the cross, amen. But you continue habitually, willfully sinning against the Most High. This apostasy is when you move towards Christ. You're on the edge of salvation. You've been convicted, enlightened to where you understand the gospel. You probably can't even get closer to salvation if you tried. People around you think you're saved. You've made a profession of salvation, telling people, I am saved. You've been baptized to ceremonially symbolize that you're saved. You even join a church. You're working in the ministry. You might even be a ministry head. But the reality of it is, you're in the church, but the church is not in you. All right? All right? You got all the leaves of a fig tree, but you bear no fruit under close inspection. All right? All right? And what happens to the apostate is, hallelujah, you could never place something that you're not for too long. Are you with me here so far? You could fool some of the people some of the times, but you can't fool all the people all the time. Are you with me here so far? So time, somebody say time. Time is of the essence with the apostate. All right? Because after time, the apostate will eventually go back to their nature. All right? The pig always goes back to its wallowing in the mire. The dog always turns back to eat its vomit. The wolf always go back to destroying and killing and ravening the sheep. Amen? You can't do anything but wash your nature. That's why salvation is so important. Because what salvation does after we admit we're sinners, after we believe in Christ, after we confess him as our Lord and Savior, salvation changes our nature. Are you with me here so far? All right? It's not that I'm playing a Christian. I am a Christian. It's not that I'm a wolf in sheep's clothing. No, this wool on my back really belongs to me. It's not that I'm staying out the mud, amen, so that y'all could look at me and think that I'm a sheep. I'm staying out the mud because at the end of the day, I don't want to be in the mud. Now, it don't mean I don't get dirty. It don't mean I don't fall down. But when I fall down, I get back up because I don't like to be down. Anybody hear me up in there? All right? True believers fall down. Fake believers fall off. Are you with me here so far? And I'm not trying to tell you that, hallelujah, that for you to be condemned by falling down. But you have to be resolved in your spirit that, hallelujah, no matter how many mistakes I make, would the righteous man fall at what, huh? Seven times, but what'd he do? Get back up. You hear me? You hear me? You hear me? And that's what the true believer does. Amen. The songwriter says we fall down, but we get back up. You see? But the apostate, no. They don't fall down. They fall off. And after a amount of time, amen, the interest in Christ begins to wane. The fire, the zeal begins to slow down. The church attendance, the commitment to ministry, the reading of the scriptures, the praying, and all of these things that when you first came and you really felt good about it and you was outdoing everybody and you was doing it so much, people that was really saved around you didn't feel saved. You knew all the songs. You knew all the scriptures. But you see, the Bible teaches us that it's not how you start, it's how you finish that count. Listen to me. You have no idea how many apostates make real believers feel bad. They quote the Bible better than you. You see? And here you are, you going home depressed. And my word for you is, wait a while. Wait a while. You know how many people have been in my life? They come in my life and they appear to be more anointed than me. Preach better than me. And after they preach the bomb sermon, sing an altar call that make the whole church fall out. But my word to you is, wait a while. Wait a while. Wait a while. Oh, yeah, they even might get you past the attention. Hey, God, they might even move up before you in the ministry. Amen. The position that you thought that God called you to, they might even be promoted before you. But my word to you is, wait a while. Oh, God, have mercy. Time works it out. You just got to wait a while. Because when you wait a while, the angel says, shall we pluck up the tares that's with the wheat? No, wait a while. Let them grow together. Because the longer the tare grow with the wheat, the more obvious the delineation becomes. Oh, God, y'all don't want to hear me preach up in here. What am I saying, Philly? What I'm saying? Wait a while. Right? Because the apostate, the unbeliever, can't keep the act up for long. The wolf can't just be chilling with the lambs all day like that without one day just getting hungry. You understand what I'm saying? And that boy said, look, I'm a vegetarian. I'm vegan. You understand? I'm going to eat what the sheep eat. But sooner or later, his stomach going to start growling. And one of them sheep going to be running around the yard and get a cut on their leg. And he's going to say, let me help you, my brother. Let me help you with it. Something in his spirit going to say, lamb chop. Right? Somebody say, wait a while. You see, when you wait a while, the interest begins to wane. The passion begins to go down. And it's not like the natural ebb and flow of the Christian. We all got ebbs and flows. But that ebb goes all the way down to not wanting Christ anymore, to rejecting him altogether. Getting to a place where they say, I don't believe the Bible no more. And it'd be people, amen, that, hallelujah, hey, God, like I told you, they was way more spiritual than you. And you see them again, man, they out there in the world, they drinking, they smoking, they doing everything, and you're like, man, wasn't you just preaching at such and such? Man, listen, I'm done with that part of my life. Somebody say apostasy. It's when we go on sinning willfully, and we reject God, we get to a place where we reject God, we reject Christ. And the Bible, amen, there's examples of apostasy. You got King Saul. Anybody remember Saul? Saul started off well, man. Amen. Samuel saw him. He was taller than everybody else. Hallelujah. And God had spoke to Samuel. The Lord's anointing is right before you. Amen. And so Saul started off well, leading Israel as the king, man, defeating the Lord's enemies, man. Saul started off well. But once again, it's not how you start. It's how you finish that counts. And Philly, listen. Listen to me good. You're going to get those blessings. I got to make it more personal to you. You're going to get your blessing. All right? But my job tonight is to make sure that when you get your blessing, you don't fall off. You understand what I'm saying? Don't fall off. Keep serving him. Keep loving him. Though you get the record deal. Though you get the book deal. Though you get the apartment complex. Though you build up that business. Whatever happens, don't do what? Don't fall off. Don't be an apostate. Stay with him. Money bring trouble, yeah. Money bring trouble, man. Fame bring trouble, man. I got a question for you. Can you handle it? Because that's what God want to know tonight, yeah. Can you handle it? It was so bad, one of them boys in the Proverbs said, give me riches, neither poverty enough, Lord. Don't give me too much and don't give me too little. I'd just rather stay where I'm at. All right? Now, I don't have the same prayer as that brother. You understand what I'm saying? I don't have that prayer. All right? How many people agree with me? I don't have that prayer. No, give it to me. Give it to me. But what I will say is, I'm not going to fall off. Come on, give God some glory. I'm telling you. I'm telling you. So you got King Saul. In the New Testament, in the days of the apostles, you have Demas. Demas was one who fell off. Started well. Oh, yeah, running with Paul, running with the best. Demas fell off, man. He apostatized. But I would go to tell you that one of the greatest apostasies in the Bible, can anybody guess? Judas Iscariot. Because he was rolling with the Christ himself, the Messiah. Rolled with him 3 years. Walked with him. Saw him for himself. Saw the miracles. Even performed miracles. Wind up falling off and betraying the Lord himself with a kiss. You see? Somebody say apostasy. Why would someone commit apostasy? Before we leave this first point, why would they ever do it? All right? Subpoint A, tribulation and persecution. If you're not built Yahshua tough, tribulation and persecution going to get you to apostatize. You see? See, in the house, we sit down and we tell our children about the struggle. All right? You see, you can learn the struggle by going through it. You can learn wisdom by going through it. You can learn, amen, hard knocks by going through it. Or if you're a good listener, you can learn it from somebody else. You understand what I'm saying? So with your children, amen, you want to teach them the struggle. You bless. They're not going through what you went through. But you can transfer what you went through to them by teaching them. And you could teach them in such a fashion to where they learn it like they'd have been through it themselves. So we sit at the table, amen, and I talk to them about having no electricity. I talk to them. I talk to them about running an extension cord to our neighbor's house when I was young. I remember that. I talk about the lights wasn't on, but the gas was on, and so we heat our water, and we put water in the tub, and that's how we took a bath. I talk to them about that. All right? Because they ask me a question, well, how do y'all take baths? There's no heat. Well, you heat your water. They say, what about the air conditioner? I say, what air conditioner? You put that window up, put that fan in that window, and every now and then when mama wasn't looking, you could talk. In the fan, you can have fun. Are y'all feeling what I'm talking about? Somebody said a struggle. You got to teach your children the struggle. All right? Teach them the struggle. You see, the struggle make you who you are. Because if it ever had to come back, the struggle in you would know how to deal with the struggle. Or it get bad again, I'll put that fan right back out there. Be a genius in the struggle. Anybody hear me up in here? Oh, yeah, I'd never like to do it, but I could. Make a bag of ramen noodles. Look. Make you feel like Thanksgiving. Somebody said a struggle. The struggle will make you apostatize if you ain't got your mind right. You begin to go through trouble and struggle, financial complications, problems arising in your life, and people begin to doubt God, Mike. Like God owed him anything. He gave him his beloved son. He don't owe him nothing else. You understand what I'm saying? He don't owe him nothing else. And the people want to get mad at God. Won't get mad at God. Well, settle down, boy. Because if I gave you what you deserve, You understand what I'm saying? Because what you deserve is to be homeless. What you deserve to be sitting in a box. What you deserve is to be warming your hand by a fire and a 50-gallon drum. What you deserve, but let me tell you something. You don't even deserve that. You don't even deserve that. You don't deserve that. You don't even deserve to be homeless. Because homeless would still be mercy. Because you'd still be living and breathing. You don't deserve life. For the wages of sin is death. You don't deserve it. You deserve to be 6 foot under. And after you're 6 foot under, you deserve to buzz hell wide open. Can I bring it real to you tonight? You see, people that make the struggle, hallelujah, the struggle make them apostatize, don't understand what they really deserve. Amen. See, when you open your eyes and you wake up in the morning, you say, God, your mercies are renewed day by day. You say, your mercies are renewed every morning, God. God, I thank you, God, because I don't deserve it. Never should have made it. See, when I look back over the things I've done, I look back over the original sin and everything that we done did to you as a people, God. But some people let tribulation do it. In Matthew 13, 20, the Bible says, but he that receiveth the seed into stony places, the same as he that heard the word, and anon with joy receive it. I'm telling you, it's people that, listen, they get in church, and they get the word, and they full of joy, boy. They're on fire. Boy, they cutting up, hallelujah, cutting up in the church, everything like that. And you're like, wow, I must not be saved. What's my word for you? Wait a while. He said, yet had he not root in himself. The faith is not a heart faith, it's a head faith. They got emotionally stimulated, but not heart, soul, spiritually engaged. Are you with me here so far? It's okay to put your emotions into God when you worship him, but don't let your worship just be emotions. Oh, I don't know if y'all caught that up in here. Listen, I don't watch people cry and do up all kind of stuff. But at the end of the day, it was just emotion. Y'all know people like that? Centipede across the floor. And you catch them in the club, what they doing? Centipede across the floor. Brian, you know what I'm talking about. Don't let God just touch your emotions and not touch your heart. Come on, anybody hear me up in here? That's what he means when he said there's no root in them. It don't go deep. The gospel didn't go deep enough. It didn't touch their core of who they are. All right? It scratched the surface, but it didn't go deep into the core. You see? You want the roots of the gospel to go through your mind, but penetrate to the inner recesses of your heart. That's where you want that gospel at. And let me tell you something about trees when they take root. When the storm comes. Trees when they take root. You understand what I'm saying? See, tribulation. Look, when they have no root in themselves, they what? They endure it, but for what? Just a while. That's why I tell you, wait a while. For when tribulation, that's trouble, suffering. I don't watch people break up with a woman and leave Christ. A man leave them, they don't want nothing to do with church no more. I said, man, what that man got to do with Jesus? I'm done with church. I'm done with God. What did God do you? Be done with him, not with God. Be done with her, not with God. She was traveling anyway. Be done with her. Not with God. What you done with God for? What you done with church for? You had no root in yourself. See, you have to decide to follow Jesus. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though they take everything away, every person away, though listen, man, listen, man, listen, man. Huh? And listen, man, I'm here, man. See, that's why we go back to revival in the Gentiles. It was a real thing, man. The boy loses his whole family, loses his whole fortune in Chicago, and still write that old hymn, "It is well with my soul." You understand what I'm saying? Like, Lord, I'm rooted. Man, it don't matter, man. That's why you're telling us this. I don't want none of y'all to apostatize. See, because these riches and blessings, they're going to come and go. You're going to have seasons of abundance and seasons of lack. Amen. You're going to have seasons where the business can't stop coming in. But you're going to have seasons where it's going to be tumbleweed rolling through your business. But you got to be able to stand the rain. Anybody hear me up in here? And I'm not speaking under that on you. No, I want your business to grow. But I'm just saying, y'all, sometimes tests come to see if you love him for the blessing or you love him as the blessor. I got to keep going. Tribulation and persecution. Persecution is when they abuse you for your faith. When they talk about you, your friends, your family, your loved ones, all of that. If you're not rooted, amen, they're going to make you leave Jesus. You have no idea how many people have come to church and their mamas and their daddies done convinced them to leave Jesus. And to go back to a denomination, go back to a church where they was learning absolutely nothing. That church wasn't teaching them anything but how to do sin. Oh God, you ain't feeling me up in here, man. While we was in there, we were doing everything. Huh? Go there, put that little dust on our forehead, feel like we done did something. You was lost when you was there. You was on your way to hell when you was there. Why would you ever let somebody convince you to leave where you met him at? To go back to a place where you didn't know him. That's strange to me. Like my baby boy said, that's weird. I'm going to say, that's weird. That's weird. That's weird, man. Yeah, I'm telling you. That's weird, man. Persecution, let it come. Let them talk about it, Brian. Let them say what they got to say, man. It don't matter. Let them say what they got to say. They're going to be talking to you while you're riding something blessed, going to bank to pick up a blessing, going to your house to tell your blessings, get up in the car with you. You know what I'm saying? They're going to talk all about you, but the blessing of the Lord make it rich and added no sorrow. Amen? And he come to give you life and life more abundantly. And they can talk about it to you all they want. But God going to show up and show out in your life. Come on, give God some glory. I'm telling you. Let them talk. They're going to talk about you till they got to come to you for help. Somebody say, let them talk. Tribulation and persecution. Nah, I ain't going nowhere. What'll make me apostatize? Hallelujah. Another one, B, will try to get you to apostatize is temptation. It's temptation. All right? Now listen to me good. All right? It's the last day. The devil knows his time is short. So the devil is wilding out right now. I ain't never saw the devil wild out like he wilding out right now. Let me tell you, sometimes I got to talk to him. Boy, you wilding out, boy. Boy, you need to slow down. You doing the most. That's what that devil doing right now. Anybody agree with me? He doing the most, man. Look, in every area, Greg. Whatever area you want to pick, the most. He's maximizing the moment, man. And so we got to be on guard. Because in the area of temptation, he's going to try to pull you away from the faith. Oh, yeah, man. Matthew 13:22. The Bible says, he also that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word. You done got this word, man. You understand this word. You know this word, man. You in the church, man. You in it, bro. And what? And the care of this world. Stop right there. The care of this world. Huh? Pastor, that's such a vague statement. Well, let me clarify it. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's what the world coming with, man. Would feel good, would taste good, would look good. Are you with me here so far? Huh? And what's going to lift you up in the eyes of other men? That's what the world coming with. And we can either care about the world or we can care about Christ. All right? If you're not rooted and grounded, temptation going to pull you, especially the world. The Bible said about demons. Listen, we talked about him earlier, but I saved the scripture because I wanted to bring forth meaning. 1 Timothy 4:10, for demons had forsaken me, Paul says, having loved this present world. All right? All right? So tonight, what's pulling you from the world? Because the world got different bait. What kind of bait, amen, the master angler using to reel by your house, to reel by your job, to reel by your church, to reel by your neighborhood? What is he using? Is it a man? Is it a woman? What is he using? Is it a homosexual lifestyle, a lesbian lifestyle? What is he using? That's the lust of the flesh. What is he using? And what he's doing is he's trying to pull you away from the faith. And he's going to start off small. Anybody hear me up in here? He'll throw that meat that you like. You know how, you know, we was riding, we be riding and stuff, and they got those little mud bug houses that stick up out the front yard. And my children ask, what that is? And people front yard like that, what that is? We said, that's them crawfish. They say, oh, them crawfish living out. I say, oh, yeah. Back in the day before I was woke, you could catch them out them holes, too. What you do, you tie a piece of meat on the string? Huh? And you put that meat down there? Now, don't go do that right now. And that crawfish will grab that thing. And you just pull him on out. There's a picture with the devil trying to do to us. You put on a string that thing that you like. And the goal is to pull you out. Pull you out of protection. Pull you out of blessing. Pull you out of the anointing. And ultimately pull you out of the faith. Amen. Because he's checking who real and who not. You understand what I'm saying? And he's just going to try to pull you out of it. Huh? Money will do it, Chad. Yes. All right? And the way money will do it, amen, you could make money God's will, you can make money another way. Oh, y'all not ready for this. Y'all not ready for this. Huh? Huh? Don't you dare take this whole thing where we're talking about our season, and begin to try to make money the devil's way. Well, Pastor says our season, so we're gonna go sell some drugs. We're gonna go. That sounds like the season for jail. All right? Somebody say temptation. That's why he says, and the deceitfulness of riches. See, it's the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. Now watch this. You know, people fall off sometimes by getting too much money. You see how he said that? The deceitfulness of riches. So on the tribulation side, some people fall off when they have financial struggle. On the deceitfulness of riches side, temptation side, some people fall off when they get too much money. That's why the dude say, don't give me poverty or riches enough. Because there's danger on both sides. All right? All right? So I've seen people in my years, Pastor, me and my wife, we were just talking about it. I've seen them not have a job, but faithful to church. They hear every Sunday. They lifting their hand, ain't got nothing. They ain't got nothing. They got a bar from somebody to tie. You got a dollar? And you're like, yeah, I'll get it down. They come get a dollar, put it in the tie. You got the bar just to offer? Yeah, that's how committed I am. But when they get a job and get a check, hey, God, I don't see him at church no more. And when you go to teach the tithe, amen, they're like, oh, Pastor, I don't believe in the tithe. You don't believe in the tithe. You believe when you didn't have no job. Yeah, now you got a little check. You don't believe in the tithe no more. So this is the key, y'all. And I'm gonna get ready to stop, but I'm gonna get ready to stop. We are about to inherit a blessing. It's right around the corner. It's right at the door. Even the things that you think have gone wrong in your life are just setbacks to set up. You're not even. You're like, that's all wrong. God, why did this happen? Wait a while. Lord, after the full manifestation come, I done dance for some problems that happen. God. Here's the last thing, and then we're going to get out of here. As we talk about apostasy, we talked about the things that can make people apostatize. We talked about, amen, tribulation, persecution, temptation. But the last one we're going to cover tonight is false teachers. False teachers. False teachers. False teachers, and in that category, we could talk about false pastors, false prophets. Amen. Whole false denominations. Amen. They will make you fall off. It's nothing worse than somebody seriously and legitimately wanting to seek God, but end up in the wrong ministry. Just end up under the wrong pastor, end up in the wrong. Anybody ever been in the wrong ministry before? Like you go there and you give your heart, man. And you trust them people, amen, to help you in your journey to Christ, for God, and them people every day leading you away from him. All right? In these last days, y'all, as the falling away begins to exponentially increase, false preachers, false teachers, false pastors, false priests are going to increase as well. It is my contention, y'all, that the word is going to get scarce in the earth. It's going to get scarce in the earth. That's why they're coming from Baltimore. That's why they're coming from Atlanta. That's why they're coming from California. That's why they're coming from Tennessee. Listen to me, man. The word of God is going to get more and more scarce. Because false teachers and false prophets are going to increase in the earth. You see? And what will they do? Jesus says, he says in Matthew 24:11, he says, and many false prophets shall rise. I'm not lying to you. I'm telling you the truth tonight. Many false prophets will rise and do what? And shall deceive many. That deceive in the Greek, I'm going to bring you to the ESV so you can get what Jesus is really trying to say right here. Jesus says, and many false prophets will arise and what? And lead many astray. Get you off the righteous road. Get you off the path of God. Lead you not to the cross. Lead you not to Christ. Lead you not to Yeshua, but lead you to some other things. Listen to me, man. Listen to me, man. We're going to teach you a lot of stuff in here. You don't learn about us being the real Hebrews. You don't learn about, amen, the heliocentric model of earth, amen, and the geocentric model. You done learn about, amen, I done talked about Rothschild, Illuminati. I done talked about all kind of stuff up in here. All right? I'm talking about all kind of stuff up in here. All right? All right? And we done watch our Bible come alive up in here. All right? We done watch the vision of our church in Revelations 3 come alive more and more. Every year that we here as a church, every year that Philadelphia is here, we watch every word of our vision come more and more into fruition and manifestation. Things we didn't know about ourselves are coming clearer now, y'all. You think when we started this church, when we was looking in Revelations, that we understood that he was talking to us when he said, I give you, I have the key of David, I open and no man shut, I close and no man. You think I knew what that was about? You think I knew what that was about when he said, hallelujah, hey God, I'm going to keep you from the temptation and the tribulation in the earth because you've kept my word? You think I knew what that was about? You think I knew what it was about when he said that there was going to be a people who say they were Jews, who was not Jews? You think I knew what that was about? It was a manifestation. It was a revelation. He had given us a vision that what we wasn't even ready for yet, but began to unfold it and blossom it day after day, year after year, and we have grown into that vision. Anybody hear me up there? We've grown into it. Understanding what the key of David is. Understanding who the false, hallelujah, Jews are. Understanding these things. All right? But though we've grown in our understanding of mysteries, mysteries hid since the foundation of the earth, we will never outgrow the cross of Calvary. We will never outgrow Yeshua HaMashiach, our Jesus, the Christ. Come on, give God some glory in his house. We'll never outgrow him. The path he has put us on has been a perfect one. It's been a path, amen, where we understand the gospel. We get rooted, grounded. We about them souls, amen. He put us on that path. And he showed us that, Jen, before he showed us who he was. And who, or rather, who we were. You understand what I'm saying? And I believe that was all for a purpose. Right? False teachers gonna lead people away from the gospel, man. They gonna get on there and talk about going back to the law. Get on there and talk about doing these feasts, these festivals, making people feel like, amen, they gotta earn their salvation again. Listen to me good, man. When you go back to the law, as your way of salvation, when you go back to the law, you have committed apostasy, my friend. You have left Christ. You understand what I'm saying? You done look truth square in the face and turn your back on it. Turn your back on it, dog. You done look, the only exit from the fire that's coming, and you done turned from that exit and went right back into the fire. You see, that's apostasy. That's apostasy. And next time we come, we're going to talk about the doom of apostasy. What happens to those that turn their back on Christ? Listen, man, don't ever turn your back on him. Don't ever let him go. Don't ever let him go. Don't ever let him go. I don't care if something happened to me, amen, and y'all remember me. Oh, man, our pastor, remember that? Back in the 2000, man, we had a little pastor, man. Oh, yeah, that's great. It'd be awesome if you remember me. Be better if you always remember Yahshua the Christ. Come on, give God some glory in his house. Give him some glory in his house, because that's all I've been about. That's all I've been about. Jesus Christ and him crucified every Sunday, y'all, for 12 years. 12 years. That's all I've been about. That's all I've been about. That's all I've been about. Every Tuesday for 12 years, that's all I've been about. That's all I've been about. That's all I've been about. And some have lied and said, I stopped preaching the gospel. Some I taught the gospel to. I ain't never stopped. I ain't never stopped. And guess what? I ain't never going to stop. You go listen to the sermons. You go get the tapes. I ain't never stopped. And I'm never going to stop preaching about Jesus. False teachers, y'all. False teachers. All right? That's why when you find a place where you can come to church, don't be so quick to run out, man. Don't be so quick to run out. If you're going to run out of here, you better run out of here to something better. Better run out of here to something that's preaching Yahshua. So here we go. We all sinners. And the wages of sin is what? Our sins have separated us from a holy God. And unless we get right, it's going to be hell to pay. The problem is we can't get right on our own. But he loved us so much. When we were without strength, he sent Christ Jesus. We call him Christ Jesus. And the Hebrew, his name is Yahshua or Yahashua. You could call him what you want, but just know who we're talking about. Came from heaven to earth, lived a perfect life, born of a virgin, never sinned, holy, harmless, and undefiled. Died on that cross as our substitute, our sacrifice. See, the only way that sin can be dealt with, can be cleansed, is with blood. And Jesus gave his blood on the cross to pay for your sins. It's the gospel. And when you believe in him, receive it, and you call upon him, he'll save you tonight. He'll save you tonight. He'll save you tonight. For whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's why the old hymn writer says, he says, I've decided to follow Jesus. Hallelujah. Anybody know that one? You hear it back there? I have decided. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided. Come on, somebody, to follow. That is the most important part. No turning back. Come on, no turning. No turning back. Though none go with me. Come on, somebody, still out. Still out. Come on, Mike, we gotta believe this. Though none. I don't care if my mama don't come, my daddy don't come, my sister, my brother, hallelujah. Hey, it don't matter, though none. Hallelujah. Still up. Come on, tell the devil, tell the world. Come on, no turning. No turning. Come on, give God some glory in this house. Give him some glory. Woo! We're going to pray in here. But don't you let no false teacher trick you. They won't lead you to Jesus. They make disciples of themselves, but they'll never leave you to Jesus. So we're going to pray. We're going to ask the Lord to save us. And save us with a salvation that's deeply rooted were we not going to turn our backs on him? No turning back, y'all. Somebody say, God, our Father, we thank you for loving us, even when we didn't really love you. We acknowledge our sins. We are guilty in your sight. We don't deserve the least of your mercies. But we thank you that you love us enough to forgive us. We believe that you sent Yeshua, Jesus, to die on the cross. We thank you for his sacrifice. He is my substitute. He is my propitiation. I believe he died. He was buried. And on the third day, he rose again. I believe with my heart, not just my mind. Lord, save me and forgive me. And let me never turn my back on you. Though none go with me, still I will follow you. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Come on, give him glory. Come on, give him glory. Come on, give him glory. We're going to go here in a second, amen. Say this with me as well. You not only died, Yahshua, but you rose again. And you're coming back. I want to be ready when you return. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. 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 Brother Brian is going to be meeting with the men. Amen. He's going in the back right now. Men, y'all gather around Brother Brian.